I remember it was pouring rain the night I drove into Detroit. Man, it was coming down in buckets. I turned left on 2nd Avenue and headed toward a General Motors building. Martha and the Vandellas were playing on the radio, "Come and Get These Memories." I said to myself, man, I'm in Detroit. I'm really in Detroit, the home of Motown Records. Damn, I couldn't believe it. My name is John Reese. Welcome to the Blue Power Hour. Tonight, our spotlight is on Northern Soul, and in specifically, Soulful Detroit. Man, I gotta tell you, Detroit was one soulful place. The greatest musicians in the world were making music there. It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Tonight we're going to play some cuts I don't think you've ever heard before. Some cuts I've been carrying around for a long time. Some that were released, some that weren't released. But I know you're going to enjoy them. Drop me a line at John at Blue Power and let me know how you like the show. Tell the truth. Strange story about that record. I remember it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was, I think, the first take that we were taking that evening. We were all in Golden World Studios and ramped up because the song itself was excellent. We'd gone through it a few times. Gil Askey had done the charts. All the great players were there. And we just made this track when I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around, and it was this great big black guy. I hadn't seen him on a session before. I kind of looked at him and said, "What do you want?" He goes, "Stop the tape." I go, "What?" He said, "Stop the tape." Hey, man, that voice hit you, "Stop the tape." So I reached over and I stopped. I think it was a 4-track at the time. And the musicians hadn't seen these cats yet, but there were two of them, and they were big and they were mean looking. Actually, they were Berry Gordy's boys. The Motown players weren't supposed to be in anyone else's studio playing for anyone else, and they were doing a little moonlighting. Barry didn't cotton to that because he was paying them, I think, a flat fee per week to play just for Motown. And so anyway, stopped the tape. One guy went out into the studio and hustled everybody out, and Jimmy was trying to, "Hey, man, what are you doing? Why are you stopping my session for? Blah, 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 blah." The big black guy said to me, he says, "Give me the tape." So I reached over and I hit the rewind button. Tape rewound, and I gave him the four-track master. The cat walks out into the middle of Davidson and holds one end of the tape in his hand and reels it down the middle of the street, down toward the John Lodge freeway. I'll never forget that as long as I live, man. Never forget that. Mr. Sam Bowie and the Blue Feeling, Joe, on Wingate Records, a very rare item for those of you who collect. Last I heard about Sam, he was shot to death in Las Vegas with some gambling incident, and that's too bad because we were going to make a couple more records. I was looking forward to that. Some things you never get used to, and I can't get used to. Picture on the wall, what had me sigh? Funny now, that picture on the wall starts me to cry. Some things you never get used to, and I can't get used to. Yeah. That's an unreleased record by a lady named Barbara Mercer. Beautiful lady, great singer. So, Uncle Ed had something against that record for some reason. I know that Barbara had found the song. It was written by a guy from New York City named Van McCoy. And he was a hell of a writer, had a couple of hits. And we recorded this, and I thought it was just great, but for some reason it never came out. So probably you heard it first.
Used to be where I live was so dark, so gray.
Did play piano on that record, and that was the second record by a group called the Shades of Blue. Their original hit was a song called Oh How Happy, and was written by Mr. Charles Hatcher, otherwise known as Mr. Edwin Starr. Charles brought the band to, or the group to Golden World, and we recorded some demos. The original demo of Oh How Happy actually turned out to be the hit. I foolishly recut it when I got over to Impact with Harry Balk. I think I spent about $7,000 recutting what was already a hit. As it was, when we played back the recut, Harry and I looked at each other, and Harry shook his head with that big cigar and said, uh-uh, ain't happening. And he was absolutely right. The recut did not make it. You want to know something? I don't even have a copy of it.
Memories to
Linda Bob, Ernie, and Nick Marinelli, The Shades of Blue. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Charles Hatcher, a.k.a. Mr. Edwin Starr. I first met Edwin at Golden World, probably in late 1964 or early 1965. I believe he'd been on the road with Bill Doggett, and he was quite young, and very, very, very likable fella. And first thing we did was a song called Agent 00 Soul.
I dig rock and roll music. I can do the twine and the jerk. I wear strictly continental suits and high collar shirts. I've got a reputation of being gentle but bold, and that's why they call me
Agent 00 Soul, the amazingly talented Mr. Edwin Starr. One hell of a nice guy, and last time I saw him, I believe, was at his home in Laurel Canyon, almost at the top up by Mulholland Drive. Edwin, I miss your smile, man. It'd be good to see you again. Drop me a line at john@bluepower.com. Let us know what you think about the show. I know I'm having a good time putting it together. Hope you're having a good time listening to it.
Yeah. digs you and loves you and wants to take care of you, then you better grab her and hold her. And girls, if you find a boy that treats you good and respects you for what you are and tells you he loves you every night, then you better run right up to him, throw your loving arms around him, and hold him, hold him, hold him, yeah!
Give her everything my little money can buy. Mr. Anthony Ray, Impact Records, 1967, I believe, or late 1966. I can't remember anymore. It was Anthony Ray was an artist that both Harry and I really liked, and we put out two records on him. We never could get a hit, but I swear to God, I thought this one would be for sure. Give me one more chance, honey. Prove my love to you. Mr. Anthony Ray, Impact Records, 1966. Tony was a real good friend of mine, and hope he can be tuned into this show, because I know he'd like to hear those records being played for the world here in this Northern Soul Spectacular. We are pointing out Soulful Detroit tonight, and we've got some real soulful guys.
Stretch out your arms. Let the lonely
One of the great Detroit records, Mr. Darryl Banks, Open the Door to Your Heart and Let the Love Come Running In. I got to tell you something. There was a group that we had, that Harry had had for some time, called The Volumes. And he had made a couple hit records, I believe, on Big Top with The Volumes. And when he opened Impact, he brought them with him. And I had the pleasure of cutting a couple tunes with him, and I always don't happen to have him on this show, but I certainly intend to do another one and bring those records with me. But this one is called You Gotta Give Her Love, and was produced by Mr. Duke Browner. Duke Browner was one hell of a musician and writer, producer, all-around great record man. And this is one of his best tunes. Gotta give her love. You know you want to keep her. You gotta give her love. Gotta pay attention to her. The Volumes. A mighty great group of guys. Very hard-working gentlemen. And I understand a couple of them are gone now. And we're going to miss them. We're really going to miss them. Now, this next record I'm going to play is totally confounded me because I didn't even know it had been released until 1992. Harry Balt called me up and said, you remember that song that you and Nick and Dino wrote, something about time? I go, yeah. He goes, well, you're going to make some money off it. Finally. I was very, very surprised. And after the record's over, I will tell you why.
Passing seasons all but fade away into misty clouds of autumn gray. As I sit here looking at the street, little figures quickly moving feet, I'm just a pebble.
Life is just a precious minute, baby. Open up your eyes and see.
Time will pass you by. It certainly will, real quick. funny story about that song. I originally started writing the song at Golden World Studios in 1965, I believe. But I never finished it. I had the chorus, and I had like the first verse, and I had the second verse, or part of the second verse. And I took it with me when I went to Impact Records with Harry Balk. One evening, I had just struck up a relationship with Nick Cicis and Dino Ficaris, and we signed them as Nick and Dino. And I was playing that song and just fooling with it about midnight. And they loved the song, and they said, well, you know, don't you have a third verse? And I said, no, I don't have a third verse. And they instantly wrote a third verse. They were great writers and good people to work with. So we had the song. So we copyrighted the song, and there it just sat. About maybe a year later, a disc jockey in Detroit, who will remain nameless, I don't want any lawsuits here, but a disc jockey in Detroit asked me if I would produce a session for a friend of his, and you know, and also write the song. So I played him a bunch of songs, and Time Will Pass You By was one of the songs that he really liked. So I got hold of Mike Theodore and Dennis Coffey, and I said, hey, boys, we've got a session here. I want you to do the charts. And they came over, got a tape, did the charts. We went into Terra Sherma, into the big room at Terra Sherma, and we recorded four tracks, one of which was Time Will Pass You By. So anyway, the disc jockey had a falling out with the lead singer, who was a friend of his, and now the disc jockey owns these four tracks and doesn't know what to do with them. So he takes them to New York, and he tries to sell them to Amy Mae LaBelle, and makes a deal with Irv Beagle, who was very familiar with Time Will Pass You By, because he had been at Golden World when I started writing it. He always liked the song. So after that, I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened. Somehow it got to England, and a record came out, and it was successful. And, you know, the chances or the odds of having a hit record anywhere in the world is like 5 billion to 1. I mean, it's just amazing. But thank you, Mother Country, because I was born in England. And thank you, Mother Country, for saving my family, because the royalties from that record came in when I needed them most in my life. So thank you, Northern Soul, so much.
In my darkest hour.
Oh, How Happy by the Shades of Blue. Another record that came just in the nick of time to save my soul. I'm telling you. I was always broke, man, being a musician and being an engineer and you know, just being in the music business. And you're either extremely successful or moderately successful, and half the time you don't get paid. I don't care who you are. I can always say, though, that at Impact Records with Harry Balk, I always got paid. The man is fair and square. Hey, did you ever hear of Mr. Matt Lucas? Matt Lucas had some hits in the United States here on Mercury Records in the early 60s. I think he had a real big hit in the Hank Snow tune, I'm Moving On. He did a real great rockabilly version of it. Mr. Lucas is one hell of a blues singer, a blues writer, and a dear, dear friend. I met him in a snowstorm standing outside my apartment building at 3 o'clock in the morning. And invited him up, and he and his wife stayed with me for about 6 months, and they got back on their feet, got everything started. I introduced him to Mr. Ollie McLaughlin, and Ollie, of course, produced had a hand in producing Del Shannon and Barbara Lewis and the Capitals' Cool Jerk. Ollie was a great guy. He was from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Ollie liked the way Matt sang, and they did a song called The Motor City Twine. Motor City Twine, performed by Mr. Matt Lucas. It was on Ollie McLaughlin's label. I can't remember the name of the label. If anyone out there knows, please send me an email at john@bluepower.com and let me know what the name of Ollie's label was. Well, we're going to take it out now, and as you can tell, everything that has been played on this show tonight has come off records. And because you can hear the scratches and the clicks, and I don't intend to take them out. I like the analog sound. Soulful Detroit is a really, really fine piece of work by Mr. David Michael, and I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly. But the phenomenon has absolutely amazed me, and you know, it's proof of what people will like if they're not bludgeoned with a record. because most of the records that I see on the charts, the Northern Soul charts, never made it in the United States. So it's really wonderful that someone appreciates the work and the effort that people put into making these records, and especially us guys from Detroit. We love you. Thank you so much. And here are the volumes. Everybody knows the trouble I've seen. God bless you all. Talk to you later.
I had a lot of things on my mind, but just one kiss has changed all this. From a pretty girl I never leave behind.
Oh, now everybody knows the trouble I see. Everybody knows the sorrow. Everybody knows the trouble I see.
I got to say glory. But in my heart, I truly believe that's the way a man and a woman should always be. Now everybody's
everybody knows the trouble I see. Everybody.